Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you
think of what Jesus went through, it certainly does give us cause to think about him and to concentrate on the wonderful work that he did there on the cross, and we still enjoy the benefits of that today. I want to turn this morning to the fourth chapter of Philippians. Philippians 4. And we will begin with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or anxious for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want to speak for a little while today on intercessory prayer. And that comes from the term that we read here in verse 6. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That word, supplication, literally means to beg, as binding oneself. It means binding oneself or becoming one with a certain burden. It also means to beseech. That's another word that is used, simply again meaning beg. There are some who have an aversion to the term beg. We understand that because we find out that you think of a beggar would think that he has no right to be there. And yet God has told us emphatically to come boldly to the throne of grace, which indeed we do. We come as sons of the living God. But let us understand that we do not come as though we were begging God to do something that he did not want to do. We have heard in time past that there are some people who believe that if you have enough faith, you can just force God and you can twist his arm and make him do things that he just doesn't want to do. And I want to notice on the authority of God's word, that simply is not true. We find here in our text, you will notice, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let your request, it is not your demand. And I want to see some elements, so to speak, of intercessory prayer today. And this is among them, that we come before God requesting things, asking things, indeed not demanding them. You will notice also in this area concerning beseech and things of this nature, it tells us of an attitude. Praying, supplication, tells us of an attitude showing forth one who sees the gravity of a certain situation. It shows genuine earnestness. And the word earnest is also used in association with prayer, as we'll see here in a little while. And so it tells us of earnestness or sincerity, tells us of intensity. But supplication also tells us, it shows forth a certain confidence that we have in God, or the assurance of his power and of his willingness. Notice what we have here in this verse. As we are indeed to, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. It means it's an attitude of faith that we give thanks unto God even before the answer comes, because we are so certain of his answers and what he indeed is doing. In other words, we expect an answer to the cry of our heart. There are a number of expressions in Scripture, examples of those who did beseech God or beg God in the right manner with the right attitude. Jesus prayed. That word is supplication. He prayed, he went further than that, more earnestly. That simply means more intensely. And we can understand that because it took place there in the Garden of Eden, and the night he was arrested, and as he prayed, let this cup pass from me. And we know as a man he wanted to let it pass. We know as a man that he did not want to go to the cross, and yet he submitted unto the will of God, and God indeed strengthened him through his Spirit. But Jesus prayed more earnestly, or he begged God, let this cup pass from me. Paul is another. It says, Paul besought the Lord three times that he might remove that thorn in the flesh from him. We know, of course, that Paul was not a man who was lacking in faith. And there are those who tell us if you pray long and hard and nothing happens, it means there was not faith. But this is not what the Apostle Paul's experience tells us. I'm absolutely confident the man had faith to be healed, and yet God chose not to. And we find in our own experience, and we must realize in our own lives, that just because we have the right attitude in intercessory prayer, it doesn't always mean we are going to get exactly what we prayed for. What we can be confident of and in is God's presence and God's willingness to answer the cries of our hearts. And so Paul besought the Lord three times. God didn't heal him, but he did answer him. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And so intercessory prayer, I can guarantee you, is effective. But we must indeed learn certain principles and indeed follow things from God's point of view rather than our own. So I said there are many, many examples of real spiritual intercessory prayer in the Scripture, but today I want to see only three of them, which bring out a number of these elements of prayer that we have spoken of here. Let us turn to the first chapter of Nehemiah. Nehemiah 1. Nehemiah also was a very spiritual man. And I want to begin with verse 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words. We must put this in context, because we'll find here how that Nehemiah was under a certain heavy burden. That is one of the elements, one of the characteristics of intercessory prayer, is that a person must enter in, or he must bind himself, as it were, to this certain burden. Notice verse 3, what this burden was. They said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. The gates thereof are burned with fire. To put this in context, the 70-year Babylonian captivity is over. There have been those who have gone back to Jerusalem, and they have already rebuilt the temple. But the city itself lies in shambles. The gates are burned. And all of these things, it's just they're in a miserable condition. And as we read here, the people there are in great affliction and reproach. This is what caused Nehemiah to do what he did in verse 4. When I heard these words, I sat down. This is a part of intercessory prayer, because this man was interrupted in his daily activities. Perhaps you have run into the same thing at times, and going on your merry way, and then all of a sudden you hear something, and immediately it is a time to cease from your own endeavor, from your own way, from your own efforts. I sat down, and he said, I wept. There are many in the Scripture who have cried out to God with tears. It tells us of brokenness and again of earnestness in the things of God. He said, I mourned. He was grieved, even as if he had lost someone. I grieved, and it was certain days. This is something that continued for a while. It tells us with intercessory prayer, it doesn't always end in a moment of time. It is stretched out sometimes over a period of days or even weeks and months in some cases we have seen. And so he said, I mourned certain days, and I fasted. There is much information and many who fasted in Scripture, but let us understand that just fasting itself is not some magical thing that will bring magical results. Oftentimes, fasting is done because a person simply doesn't feel like eating. It is a burden on him where he just doesn't feel like taking in any kind of sustenance. And it can be effective, but let's not use it as a magical wand, so to speak, thinking, well, if I fast, that'll sure do it. It could have a part of it, but I'm persuaded that fasting must be directed from the Lord and for His purpose. And so this was Nehemiah. He fasted and he prayed before the God of heaven. This is absolutely imperative of intercessory prayer, is that our hearts are turned toward God. He is the very source of the answer. And so Nehemiah did exactly that. Then we come to verse 5. In these next few verses through the end of this chapter, the word beseech is used 3 times. It tells us again of the tremendous intensity. It tells us of this attitude, to put it into perspective, the attitude of begging in the proper manner and showing the tremendous incentive, showing the tremendous desire that Nehemiah had in this case. And he said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven. Again, going to the very God of the universe. And then he calls him the great and the awesome God. He acknowledges God's credentials. And this is exactly what we must do. Recognize who it is we're coming to. Recognize the power of God and the ability of God. And so we read, the great and terrible God. That keepeth covenant. This is so important in intercessory prayer, is that we come on the basis of God's word. God will keep His word. He will keep His covenant with us. And Nehemiah acknowledges that. And then, and mercy. Here we find again a man who did not come into God's presence thinking that God owed him anything. What we receive from God is directly because of His divine grace. It is His favor upon us. We simply ask and we receive that grace. And such grace may not always include the answer we were looking for. But as the Apostle Paul found, my grace is sufficient for you in order to continue on. And so it was that this man cried out for the very mercy of God, for them that love Him and observe His commandments. Nehemiah recognized we must indeed be obedient unto the word of God. Verse 6, let thine ear now be attentive, thine eyes open. You may hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. Again, this is a continual thing and not just dashing in and out, getting what we want and going on our way. God is using so many things in order to work in our lives and to create us, making us the men that He wants us to be. And so this is something that happens day and night. Children of Israel, thy servants confess thy sins. This also, as we recognize here, that Israel must recognize their own shortcomings and things of this nature. Verse 7 is more, we have dealt very corruptly against thee, have not kept thy commandments. Recognizing the problems in the people, again I say, God owed them nothing. And Nehemiah is not claiming blessing on that basis at all. He is claiming blessing and coming to God according to His mercy. Verse 8, he uses the word again. Remember, I beseech thee, thy word. This is why it is so important for us to continually be engaged in God's Word. Not just when we need something or find something that would fit what we want, but a real steady influence, an overall lifestyle of incorporating God's Word into our lives. This is what God has always wanted. And so here it is again, to remember what thou, your word, that thou commandest thy servant Moses. And here is where he knew what he was asking for. If you go back through the scripture, God had promised, even if you do go away from me, even if I do scatter you to the four corners of the earth, if you just look back toward this place, I will gather you again. And Nehemiah is claiming that promise. He is holding God to his word. And so, verse 9, if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, I will gather them from thence and will bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name. Intercessory prayer is always according to the will of God. This is what was the will of God, is for them to be gathered back to Jerusalem. Let us understand that is still God's purpose for the nation of Israel in these last days, is to gather them back unto himself, to make a nation of them and to become the head of the nations. It behooves us to pray for Israel in such a manner as this, even though right now they are in such a horrid state of unbelief and rebellion. God certainly is going to rectify that, and we can pray accordingly. Verse 10, these be thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed. Here he appeals to him as a redeemer. We can do the same thing. Lord, you've already shed the blood of your own son in my behalf. That makes us valuable. That makes us worth it. We appeal to him as the redeemer, exactly as Nehemiah did, by thy great power and thy strong hand. Verse 11 is the third time he uses the word beseech. But this one is just a little bit different in the second part of this verse. In the first part, we see this. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants. Here he includes everyone in this. But notice here. Who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. There comes the time, sometimes, when we must make specific requests for ourselves as to what God would have me do in a certain situation or circumstance. This is what Nehemiah is doing here. He was the cupbearer. This man was not free by any stretch of the imagination. He belonged to the king in every sense of the word. And if you go on into chapter 2, which we're not going to do, but I will tell you, in chapter 2, God answered this cry. What Nehemiah is saying, Lord, I want you to give me favor in the king's eyes so I can go back to Jerusalem and accomplish this task. And this is another point of intercessory prayer. If you have a certain burden, if you have a certain interest, if you have a certain longing that something needs to be done, don't be surprised if you may be the answer to your intercessory prayer. Don't be surprised when God answers your cry. And that's exactly what he did for Nehemiah. He gave Nehemiah favor in the eyes of the king. And the king told him, all right, Nehemiah, you go back to Jerusalem and I'll give you all of these provisions in order to accomplish the task. This is when you know intercessory prayer has been effective, and Nehemiah became a tremendous man of God in that regard. He is a man who really understood the majesty of God and all of these various things that he prayed for. And things were even more intense after he got back to Jerusalem. And he was still the prayer warrior that we see here. But he is a man, as we find here, who said to the Lord, three times I beseech you, I beg you. And God answered that cry. I want to notice another one. The 14th chapter of Numbers. We have seen this man before, and this is not the first time that he has cried out to the Lord as an intercessor. But I wanted to look at this one just a little bit. Numbers 14. Verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I'll smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. This is the burden that Moses has to contend with. Israel has come up to the borders of Canaan. They have sent spies into the land, and those spies have come back with a glowing report of the goodness of this land. It flows with milk and honey, just like God said it did. But they said, we can't go in there because the giants are too big. We can't do it. Anyone who spoke against that or didn't agree with their decision, they were ready to stone them, if you read this chapter. So God says, I have a simple solution, Moses. I'm going to wipe them out, and I'll make a nation of you. He could have done that. He could have been faithful to his promise to Abraham by doing that. But did Moses accept that? No, he did not. In verse 13, we read that Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it. Thou broughtest these people up out of the night among with your might among them. They'll tell it to the inhabitants. In other words, he appeals here to God's reputation. Lord, what are they going to think when you brought these people out and you couldn't get them into the land of Canaan, so you just killed them in the wilderness? What's that going to look like? This was Moses' way of intercession. Go down to verse 17. We read again our key word. Twice we read it in this intercessory prayer. Moses said, now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according to thou as thou hast spoken. You will notice again these same elements of intercession. The power of God, only this time the power is more the power of his divine grace. It is the power according to his great word, or what he has spoken. Verse 18, the Lord is long-suffering, of great mercy, forgiving iniquity, transgression, by no means clearing the guilty. This is how he is appealing to God, begging him on the basis of his power, his might, and his great and wonderful grace. Verse 19, pardon, I beseech thee. Begging for the forgiveness, for the pardon of Israel at this time, according to the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. We have seen it again and again in Scripture that God wants us to look back over things that he has done before, reminded of those things that God has already done as an incentive that we can indeed call on him for the same thing again. And that's exactly what Moses does here in this great intercessory prayer in behalf of an entire nation of Israel. Verse 20, The Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. This is effective intercession. And Moses, like Nehemiah, felt the tremendous burden of the people, and God was entreated of them. Finally, let's go to the fifth chapter of James. This is another man who gives us some tremendous insight concerning intercessory prayer. James 5 and verse 16. We read, confess your faults one to another. This is in regard to healing, and oftentimes, if there is sin that must be dealt with, then confession is absolutely in order. And so confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Now, don't gather from this that just because a person is sick, they've done something wrong. This is a judgmental attitude on our part, and God warns us not to do that. But if there are certain things, the person will certainly know that. And confession indeed is very needful at such a time. And so confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Then we read this, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. All of this are descriptions of elements of real intercessory prayer. The effective, fervent. There is a certain passion. There is a certain intensity, as we have seen in so many of these examples this morning. Prayer, and then of a righteous man. And then he gives an example of a righteous man. Verse 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions. And if you go back and read Elijah's story, he was also a very intense and passionate man. He was a man that was bound to the burden, as we would say, as is meant by that word supplication. And so as we read here, that he was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. He supplicated earnestly. He besought the Lord, as we would say, and indeed, that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I want to notice from this particular narrative what Elijah said about this matter. There are, as I said, those who believe if you have enough faith, you can just force God to do anything you want to do at any given time, but that is not what the scripture teaches. This man, he prayed that it might not rain for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again that it would rain, and the earth was restored to fruitfulness. We'll not turn there, but you can check the reference. It's 1 Kings 18:36. This is where that Elijah himself explained. This is when he called fire down from heaven surrounding this same event. And a part of his prayer at that time was this. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. The reason that he was so effective is because it was God who called for the drought. And so he prayed accordingly. After there was repentance, after Israel fell on their faces before God and cried out, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God, then God could bring forth the rain. And we find that Elijah was out there on the hilltop interceding and praying that God would bring forth the rain now to wipe out the drought. All of this was God's idea. And this is what we must understand. I'll guarantee you, when we pray according to the will of God, it will always come to pass. And so that's what Elijah did. Go back and read the story. He's out here praying. He sent his servant. See what you can see. Nothing. Send him back again. See what you can see. Nothing. The third time he came back and said, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. That's all we need. And after that, it came a real gusher, as they would say. Intercessory prayer is effective when we follow God's principles and when we believe God and we come into His presence, when we are bound to that burden as God would have us to be. And so if God has placed a burden on your heart, I would encourage you to continue to pray and to believe God until He releases you from it, and God will grant the answer. I think there is much need for intercessory prayer in our world today. I don't think we're going to get rid of it until we go home to glory. But let us be faithful to pray and to seek the Lord according to His will. If it's a matter of beseeching or begging, so be it. Let our own intensity carry us to the place where God wants us to be. God will. He is always entreated of intercessory prayer.